continue our series where we're looking at the I am sayings of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. The I am sayings were really signposts to Jesus' divinity and to what he came to do. And if you were here last week, you may remember we looked at I am the bread of life. Jesus taught that all those who believe in him, the bread of life, will gain eternal life. A wonderfully secure place for those of us who believe to be. Yet also a challenge too. A challenge for us who believe to share our belief with others, that they too may come to believe in Jesus. In a way, that's exactly what John is doing in his gospel, you know. If we were to turn ahead a few chapters to chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verses 30 and 31, he writes this. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So in his gospel, John is doing that. He's helping his readers, and of course he's helping us to believe. And he does that by helping us to make connections. So if we think back last week to bread and Jesus being the bread of life, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus took something physical, bread, and he gave it a spiritual significance. You might remember making a link with what was written in the Old Testament and then opening up something wonderful, not just for the present in the lives of his hearers, but for their eternal future. And today we see him doing exactly the same thing, taking an important physical everyday thing, light. Light that all of us need every day of our lives. And through it, Jesus deals with the deeper issues. Issues of life and death, of judgment and of salvation. But before we launch in and have a look at what was read for us in chapter 8, can we just briefly turn our attention back to the very opening few verses of John's Gospel so we can put the whole thing in context. So if you could just turn to John chapter 1, I'm just going to read out those first few verses, because it talks about the light. So John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men may believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's Jesus. Jesus, the true life. By many, not recognized. By others, recognized but not received. And by still others, recognized and received. The true light, says John in the beginning of his gospel, the light of the world has come. And just like Jesus being the bread of life, This too, the light, him being the light, is foretold way back, centuries back, in the Old Testament. I'll just read it out to you. It's going to sound a bit Christmassy, but I'm not worried about that today, because it looks a bit Christmassy, doesn't it, outside in our snow-covered car park. Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born. That's the light. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So you see, way back, prophesied by Isaiah, we've got the idea of the light coming into the world, but not just for the present, for all future, for eternity. And of course, we can put a name, can't we, to that child who's born. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world. And that's who we join now in chapter 8 of John's Gospel. The one to whom the prophet Isaiah was referring. And there he is, standing in the temple courtyard to his own. He speaks and he makes this statement in John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Just imagine for a second that scene in the temple on that day. Perhaps with the background of one of the four great candelabras in the temple lit with huge candles, and Jesus standing there. Jesus, whose voice had once said, of course, let there be light. And there was light. That same Jesus. That same voice. None other than God Almighty. Standing in the temple. Come to his own. In front of the religious leaders and others. Revealing who he is to them. What an amazing concept. The God who they were worshipping, the God for whom they built the temple, the God who at a word had brought light into existence, now standing in front of them, saying, I am the light of the world. God in their midst revealing himself to them. It's just mind-blowing, isn't it? So there must be quite a response to that. What would the response be? What were they going to say? What were they going to do or think in the light of Jesus' proclamation? Well, the response is that the religious leaders have issues with this. They've got some issues. They're basically saying this, to sum it up in Bob kind of fashion. They're saying, Jesus, just because you say you're the light of the world doesn't mean that you are. That's really what they're saying. Just because you say you're the light of the world, it doesn't count. That's not evidence. That's not enough. You need some other proof. Jesus, you can't self-authenticate. That's what they're saying. And Jesus' response to their challenge is basically, oh yes I can. That's basically what he says, isn't it? He says, yes I can, because of who I am. I am God, so I can self-authenticate. And actually, if you need two witnesses, there's God the Father too who sent me. That's the nub of the conversation. Quite a response, isn't it? He's challenged. I am the light of the world. Oh, no, you're not. Just because you say you are. Oh, yes, I am. Just because I say I am. That's a pretty black and white response, isn't it? And actually, with a response like Jesus's, you only really had two ways to go, don't you? Either you can, well, accept what Jesus says, or you can reject it. You see, it's a decision based on faith, and it always is. It's based on faith. Believing before you have the exact proof that you'd like to have. That's faith. But you know, even faced with that situation and with what Jesus said and what the religious leaders said, John chapter 8 verse 30 says this, because many people chose to believe. You know, we may focus on those few religious leaders who hardened their hearts and chose not to believe, but the truth is many people hearing that believed. In verse 30 it says this, even as he spoke, that is Jesus, even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. Many chose to believe. And some didn't. And here's what Jesus says to the unbelieving religious leaders in verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. That's quite black and white, isn't it? You see, there is a choice to be made about the light. You can't stay neutral to the light. There's a choice to be made, and that choice has implications. I remember once hearing a preacher preaching, and he said this. Actually, he said it to a group of young people. He said this. He said, you need to know that at some point you will have to make up your mind about Jesus. You can't sit on the fence forever. Well, forgive me for saying this, but what is this fence? I've read the things that Jesus says, and, well, he doesn't mention a fence. He doesn't mention a third option. Well, you can either believe that I'm the light of the world, or you can choose not to believe that I'm the light of the world, or there's a fence and you can sit on that. It doesn't say that. There is a choice to be made, and it's a yes or it's a no. And our choice, whatever it is, will have implications. What he does say is this, that he is the light of the world. And if anyone, regardless of race or gender or background or social group, if anyone would believe in him and receive him, if we walk towards the light and live in the light, then we shall surely have eternal life. This is a totally inclusive offer from God. Totally inclusive. All who would be included are invited to be included. I don't know if any of you have seen, anyone here seen the film The Impossible? It's Ewan McGregor. Well, I know you have because I went with you. We went to see the film The Impossible, which has got Ewan McGregor, and it's based on a family's experience during the tsunami, and how in the process of it all they got separated, and then in the chaos they actually miraculously got reunited as a family, and for a while they thought that they were dead or they were the only one, and then suddenly at the very end they all get reunited. And it's a very moving film, and it reminded me, just the whole tsunami thing reminded me of my time in Tanzania in Africa, where we went and visited a marine nature reserve. It was on an island just a few miles from the shore of Tanzania. And I got speaking to the marine biologist there. Not that I know anything about marine biology at all, but I was just interested because it wasn't that long after the tsunami. So I asked him the question. I said, and where were you during the tsunami? And to my surprise, he said, I was in the water. And I said, well, because it did, you know, it wasn't as strong in Africa, but it did kill a couple of people and stuff. They felt the effects of it. I said, you're in the water. I said, well, what happened? And he told me, he said, I was out around a reef taking some samples. He said, and all of a sudden, from absolutely nowhere, a kind of a big tide just ripped me off the reef and just carried me miles away. And I said, what happened? He said, well, it was quite near the end of the day, and I started to begin to swim back to where I thought the island was. And it went dark. He said, and I just got completely disorientated. He said, and I thought I was dead. I thought I was going to die. He said, I thought that was it. And I said, so what happened? And he said, well, I'd been driven so far down the coast that all of a sudden, he said, as it got dark, the lighthouse went on. He said, and I saw the light. He said, and I swam towards it. It wasn't the island, it was the mainland. He said, but I swam towards the light, and I was saved. And I didn't die. He followed the light to his salvation. So today, we don't have to be in the dark about where we're going to spend eternity. You see, Jesus, the light of the world, looks at each one of us and bids us come. I am the light of the world. Come to me. And bring all your friends too. Amen.